Okay. What's happening? Not ready yet. Well, you're about ready. I'm busy with this. Look at that. Look. Now you can see my, bless you too, my mouth. There you go. How you doing? I'm very loud because it's in my mouth. The microphone. I was swallowing. How you doing, young man? You're looking good. You're looking good, young man. How you doing? Give me your elbow. Where's Eddie at? Where's Eddie? I'll get Eddie to show you a coronavirus high five. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, buddy. You're looking sharp as a tack. I know you can't help it. Both of you are. She's looking younger and you're looking. I tell my wife all the time, I say, you get younger and younger and younger. And she goes, I said, but I'm looking like I'm getting older. She goes, I'm doing this to you. How's your head? Okay. Just remember, just keep saying in Jesus' name, I hold on to the promise. That's right.
Hello.
How you doing? Y'all guys are looking awesome, and here me and Dudley looking like we just come off a. And you're beautiful. Good. You're 21 now. Oh, the millennial socialist.
Yeah.
Yes. You'd be a whole lot better off. That was awesome. I killed it. I see the cross rising. Thank you. Yes. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. Look around at somebody. If they're wearing a mask, tell them they're looking better than they normally do. If they're not wearing a mask, just say, hey. God is good. God's got all this under control. And we're going to talk about that more today. But God's got all this under control. We're going to trust Him with all this stuff that's going on. And we know that God has got a plan and God's got a purpose. And His plan and His purpose will always prevail. Somebody say, His plan and His purpose will always prevail. Somebody say that. Always prevail. Amen. Amen. Look around again and just wave at somebody. We can't go out and give them a high five, so just wave at them. Amen. God is so good. All the time. Let's all stand. I'm expecting about 500 today, so when they get here, y'all slide in. Amen. 500 pounds. That's a good one. I'm not expecting 500 pounds, but yeah, there you go. Now let's say this together. Repeat this together with me. These are the two most important hours of my week. Help me to cherish them. I am here today to worship and not to be entertained. I am singing to an audience of one. Accept my worship, O Lord. Let's try that again. These are the two most important hours of my week. Help me to cherish them. I am here today to worship, not to be entertained. I am singing to an audience of one. Accept my worship, O Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so, so awesome. Keep on standing. Amen. God's got all of this. We got to pray for DC. DC's trying to be a paramedic, and he's working his way through it, and he's at another class today. So remember him, because when we're praying for him, remember all the lives that he can save. So keep on praying. Amen. For God to do something great through his life. And he'll be back next week. And y'all, when he comes back, y'all tell him that y'all didn't even miss him because I sounded so good. He can look at y'all and laugh and say, y'all tell me another one. Ready, y'all? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Come on. I get a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on solid ground. Hold on, get it. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Come on. I got a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on solid ground. Let's sing that chorus again. Ready? I got a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on solid ground. God's good. Yeah. All the time. That's right. There you go. Now, of course, you know the offering's at the front, so y'all can put it in when you go out if you ain't already put it in coming in. This is called, look, so this is an aloha offering. Aloha means hello and goodbye at the same time. Y'all know that? So in Hawaii, people don't know whether they're coming or going. Okay, so this aloha offering, you can put it in when you come in or you can put it in when you go out. Amen. We're not going to have any ushers. Just again, this is CDC rules, so we're trying to keep by them. At the same time, I want us to have freedom of worship. Amen. Freedom of worship. Y'all raise that hand. Freedom of worship. That's right. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Freedom of worship. That's right. So let's go ahead and do this. Hold you. If you got your offering, put it in your hand. If you don't have y'all, if you already put it in, just do this. Just hold up your empty hand. Here's what you do. I want you to say, I lift my offering to you. Let it please you, O Lord. This is my seed. Although it leaves my hand, it will never leave my life. You will multiply it. Accept my seed, O Lord. Let's do that one more time. Y'all are getting it. I lift my offering to you. Let it please you, O Lord. This is my seed. Although it leaves my hand, it will never leave my life. You will multiply it. Accept my seed, O Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God is so good to us. Praise God. Really? How many know that, look, right now, with all this stuff going on, we don't know where to go. We don't know exactly what to turn to. Politics has gone crazy. You got one side saying they got the answer, other side saying they got the answer. But I know somebody that's got the answer. God. God's got the answer. And when I start hearing all these suggestions and they're leaving God out, then my mind just doesn't comprehend it. I've got to hear God in there somewhere. When I start hearing God and God's Word, because God's Word unifies. God's Word lifts us up. God's Word inspects us, instructs us, and encourages us to be one. Amen. We're one. Amen. Look at somebody and say, we're one. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. We're one. That's right. Ready? So, where do you go? When you don't know where else to go? You go to the Lord. Amen. Ready? Let's try this. I'm going to try to hit my foot at the right time. One day I was doing this and I was stopping my foot keeping time. I didn't know y'all were trying to keep up with me. I was flipping all through that thing. Okay. Ready?
Live here below in this so sinful world.
Come on.
Hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Sing it.
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory. God is so awesome. Amen. These guys behind me are awesome. They kind of favor a little bit too. I don't know why. Already? I'm sorry.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart to adore you. Beauty of life went with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, you are highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the love's sake faithful. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thou never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
One more time, let's sing the chorus.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
God is so, so awesome. You know, let's go by what the... Go ahead, give Lord a hand clap of praise. Now we're going to go way on back. We're going to dig out way on back in the bottom of the pile. Amen. Amazing grace, the old-fashioned way. Oh. Ha, ha, ha. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the I first believe. Sing that chorus again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 10,000 years is like a day up there. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God. Come on, church, praise Him, yes. And when we first begun, one more time that chorus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. God's awesome. All right, God's awesome. Get your Bible out. Stay, kid. Don't get down yet. Just look at somebody. Turn around. Look at somebody. Wave at them. Talk to them. Holler. Tell somebody they're looking good. And if they're not looking good, tell them to put their mask on, then tell them again. If you're not wearing your glasses, you're definitely looking good. All right. To our Facebook people out there, good morning to you too. I forgot to say good morning to y'all this morning. God's awesome, and I hope you're being blessed out there in Facebook land. Praise God. Who would have thunk it years ago? Who would have thunk it? That's just, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer.
And then I'm going to read a scripture first. John 11:21. I'm just going to read that one scripture. If you want to turn to it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. It's just one scripture. John 11:21. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Or in other words, if you'd have showed up when we told you, come on, if you'd have did according to our plan, as always, you can look at this. If you did according to our plan, if you showed up when we told you, then guess what? Things would have been different. But now, because you didn't go by our plan, he's dead. We need to think about that in this land at this time. Amen. Stretch forth your hands away. God, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive, you're well, and you're on the throne. I thank you, God, that there's absolutely nothing impossible for you. Nothing. God, this is not taking you by surprise. You knew about the coronavirus. You knew about all the riots and the protests. You knew about all that. You knew about all this stuff. You're not up in heaven walking around sucking on a bottle of Maalox trying to figure out what to do. You already told us this was coming. You saw it ahead in time, and you have already given us a remedy. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, to help us, Lord, to look to you right now for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You be seated on the way down and tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Now I got two jokes for you today, one for the older crowd, one for the younger crowd, okay? First, the older crowd. A 4-year-old son was eating an apple in the back seat of his car. Linda said this was actually me and Bethany. A 4-year-old son was eating an apple in the back of the car when he asked, Daddy, why is my apple turning brown? Because, as Daddy explained, after you eat the skin off, the meat of the apple came into contact with the air, which caused it to oxidize, thus changing the molecular structure, and turning it into a different color. There was a long silence. Then the son asked softly, Daddy, are you talking to me? Bethany asked me something. I tell her something. I said, do you understand? She goes, uh-huh. I heard that. And Linda would say, you know what he said? She went, uh-uh. And then Linda would go through. She was our translator. Now for the younger crowd, congratulations. You survived the first half of 2020. Welcome to the level 5 of Jumanji. See, that's what I'm saying. There's some movies out called Jumanji with The Rock and all that, and you had to get certain levels. Yeah, that's why I said I did two jokes today because of that. Okay. Obviously, some of y'all hadn't seen Jumanji. There's an old version with Robin Williams. There's a new version with The Rock. Okay. All right. So, you know, everybody, let's go on back to something we're all in common here. Here we go. Where are you, Jesus? Now, there's a lot of times and a lot of things in our life, a lot of questions in our life when we're going through something. Maybe like with Bethany's death, or you may have had a child, or you may have had a father or a mother, or you may have had a death, especially an unexpected death. You may have lost your job unexpectedly. Your family could go into pure chaos, and you can't figure out why your family's in chaos. There's all kinds of things that goes on in our lives. And many times, we actually, let's don't be super religious here, okay? Can we, look, my name's David, I'm your friend. Can we just be honest? Sometimes we wonder, where are you, God? Sometimes we have to figure out, where are you in all of this? Where are you now, God? Because I don't really see you. Anybody ever been there? I don't really see your hand, God. So it'd be nice, I know you're there, but it'd really be nice if you showed me that you were there. So that's what this is all about. And especially nowadays, first the coronavirus, and we're still, there's cities finally opening up with that. Now there's another set of outbreaks, and there's all kinds of stuff. China reported today that they're having another series of outbreaks. But I think Russia reported that they have medicine, and we've got medicine coming. So there's all kinds of stuff. It's happening at breakneck speed. Everything that's going on, everything is happening.
And then with the protest, and some of the protests got out of hand, there's riots, and then there's burning and looting, and oh God, there's just so much out there that, you know, you get up and look at the news, and how many turn on the news and want to turn it back off or go to Gilligan's Island and watch it? Just let me watch Gilligan's Island. You know, at least I know there that eventually they're going to get off the island and they're going to wind up getting, the skipper's going to buy a new ship and they're all going to go on a maiden voyage and get lost on the same island again. Y'all remember that? Okay, so Gilligan finally got off the island. How many knew Gilligan finally got off the island? Okay, Gilligan got off the island and they made several movies. And after the last movie was, when they got off, they got to the world, the new world to them, and they didn't realize how much the world had changed. And they said, man, this isn't what we left. And they were really upset. They go for a cruise on the skipper's new boat. And when they go on the cruise, they get in another storm and they shipwreck and they wind up right on, and they wind up on an island. And they said, not again. And they see a board somewhere and it said SS Minnow. So they wind right back up on the island that they had been rescued from. For all y'all, now your whole day can be fulfilled now that you know that. Life will never be the same since you know that. Amen. You know something some of the young people don't know. You know something the old people don't know. Okay. All right. So now, again, we see all the stuff going on around us, and it does. Every time I think that it can't get any worse, here we go. Here comes another one. And some of the stuff I see is actually appalling. Because it's really getting out of hand. Everything altogether is getting out of hand, and we don't need a civil war again. We've already tried it one time; it didn't work too good. Okay, we don't need another one. And so God's got to come here. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you at? So again, let's just go here. I'm gonna give a few slides from last week for the ones that weren't here. you'll see this. John 11:21, just read it. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now let's look at the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha from a different viewpoint. And again, I talked about this last week, but if you weren't here, you get a chance to hear it. And that is, let's look at the place first. It's Bethany. Bethany literally means the house of joy and house of pain. Wow. House of joy and house of pain. How many things in your life has brought you much joy, but at the same time has brought you much pain? Amen? How many times has you thought this was going to be a source of strength and comfort and hope, and it was for a while, and then it become a source of tearing your nerves all to pieces and just tearing you up, a source of pain? So that is a very intriguing fact of life, that the same thing that brings you joy can be the same thing that brings you pain. Oh, that too. Okay. So now my question is, I'll show you this, that Jesus allows stuff like this in your life because he wants to perfect. Listen carefully. Jesus does not want to pamper us. He wants to perfect us. Listen again. God does not want to pamper us. He wants to perfect us. He wants to challenge our faith. So, if Jesus had been there, they would not have discovered what they discovered in this story. And this story speaks to every area of your life where you wonder where Jesus is at. You wonder, where is he at? Why hasn't he showed up? Why hasn't he taken care of my problem? Why, you know, why this, why that? You know, I really thought Bethany was going to live. I really thought Bethany was going to at least get 5 years. Even the doctors told us she'd at least get 5 years. And she didn't get 5 years. She only got a few months. You know, it's just, again, doctors don't know everything, but they are good and they're there for a purpose. But again, you never know in life what's going to be coming at you. And you just need to know who to hold on to, because when you get hit below the belt, when you get knocked to your knees, you got to know where to go. Okay? So here's the things that we learned. It started with last week, and I'm going to do this briefly, and then we're going to, you know, go right into this week's. Okay? Number one, remember this, God always hears our cries. Lazarus became seriously ill, so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, your friend is ill. And remember, he was raised with Lazarus. This is not some guy that he heard about. He knew Lazarus personally. He knew him intimately as a friend. When Jesus received the message, he said, this illness is not meant to end in death. It is going to bring glory to God, for it will show the glory of the Son of God. So when he heard of Lazarus' illness, he stayed where he was 2 days longer. Wait a minute. He heard his best friend is sick, and instead of going to him, he stays right where he's at. Wow. Doesn't that kind of seem kind of cold? Doesn't it seem kind of cold-hearted? But you know, God's doing something. Daniel had prayed for 21 days, and he said, God, you know, trying to hear God, seeing God hear his prayer. And God at the end said, I heard your prayer, but there's a battle going on in heaven over you, trying to keep you from hearing. I want you to see this battle. I want you to experience it and write it down so other people will know when they're going through their own spiritual battle. It's not that I cannot put it there immediately, but there's battles going on, and they need to learn how to persevere, be strong. You know, like the guys, you know, the Delta Force or the Green Beret. I knew some guys, ministers, that were ministers, but they were also, in the Church of God, they were ministers, but they were also Green Beret. And they would tell me some of the things they would do to them to teach them to be toughened up. And they would capture them, and they would actually put them in interrogation. And they would waterboard them, and they would do things to them. So when it actually happened to them by the other side, they had already been exposed to this, and it would not shock them, but they would be ready for it. And they could withstand because they had already experienced the pain in a controlled situation. Okay? So when they were out of control, they could still stay in control. And God many times lets us go through things that seems like it's out of control, but it's not. It's actually, you're actually learning in a controlled situation, whether you don't realize it or not, because God wants you to learn so when the time does come, you got it going on. Okay? So, remember this. We're almost in. I'm sorry, these allergies. I'm even allergic to artificial flowers, I'm telling you. Whatever he permits to enter into the arena of our lives, he has purpose wrapped up in it. Whatever happens to you, God's got a purpose wrapped up in it. And you got to hold on and know that God's got something going on here. But see, see, the reason we don't always see it, or we don't always feel it, or we don't always experience immediate answers, there's a reason. I mean, I'd like to be able to say, okay, God, here's what I need. You know, how many like to go to the drive-thru and go, I'll have this, 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 and this? Pull up, please. You pull up and they hand the bag out to you. We live in an instant society. I remember back in the early days of ministry, didn't have a phone in the car. I remember when I first got a pager. Wow. I could get called. I told my wife there were certain numbers you could put in that I would know this is going on. So I know to stop on the side of the road and find a phone booth and call her. Then we got our first phone and car phone, and it was because my wife was going to college and she was driving to Fayetteville every day from Benson. So we got our car phone. So in case she broke down along the way or she needed to tell me something, she could do that. And then I remember me getting it, and I said, well, I don't really need a car phone. I don't need a phone, period. And then I realized how good it was because then I could get a hold of folks and they could get a hold of me. And it was amazing. And now we can't even live without it. How many remember when popcorn didn't come out of a microwave? How many remember when you had to have a great little big pot and you pushed it back and forth like this and you popped that great little big pop? Hey, y'all remember that? How many remember things like that? And nowadays you say, I mean, you don't see that anymore because we're so into instant. Get it done now. Get it done now. Get it done now. I like to buy this. My wife and I, they got them at Walmart. It's a $1. It's in a box. It's called Theater. It's in a box. All you do is stick it in the microwave for 2.5 minutes. Then it comes out. You pull the top, the little plastic cover off, and you got popcorn, buttered popcorn. It's awesome. It's enough for two people. And I'm thinking, I just sit back and think, Daddy used to go in the kitchen. And now we just go in there and put it in the microwave. So we're so used to all that. We expect immediate answers from God. God, I need an answer now. You know, and so here it is. Here it is. Watch this now. Watch. Be careful. We're going to learn something now. Number two, remember this. It's always too early to give up on God. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Listen to that. Y'all say this with me. This is the message he sent back to his sisters. His sisters, this is not a surprise. His sisters heard this message. They're calling for Jesus. And Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. Y'all say that. This sickness is not unto death. Well, here's the problem. They saw him die. Somebody did it with me. He said this sickness was not unto death, but they saw him die. Does Jesus even know what he's talking about? I can only imagine what was going on in their heads. So again, watch this. Watch this. No, it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. There's two things here, and then we're going right into our new stuff. God has a plan, and God has timing. Never give up on God. It's always too early to give up on Him, because He can do more than you ever imagine. And number three, God can resurrect your dead things. Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days, and so he arrives. And remember, there's a significance to the 4 days, because the Jews believed, the Pharisees believed, that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. And so to wait till the fourth day means that the spirit was gone. There was a hope of resurrection for 3 days, and after 4 days, it was gone. So Jesus wanted to make sure they understood he was graveyard dead. Some of y'all in here right now, you've got situations in your life that are graveyard dead. And you're wondering, God, what's going to happen from all this? You said that I was going to have life and have it more abundantly, but all I'm looking at is tombstones everywhere. Everything I seem to start, I can't finish because it's dead. Everything I'm trying to work on, I can't work on because it's dead. God, I don't understand. Remember this. God can resurrect your dead things. Now, here's number four. Get ready. Remember this when you're not hearing from God. Remember this when it seems like God's not even anywhere around. Remember this. Listen, our God is compassionate and He cares for us. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Wow. The shortest verse in the Bible is probably the most powerful verse in the Bible. Why? Because it shows that Jesus, knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus, still was touched by the pain at that moment. Wow. Jesus, the Son of God, knowing he's going to raise Lazarus, knowing the sickness is not unto death, he sees the sisters weeping, sees everybody else weeping. And so Jesus sees them weeping. He's deeply moved in his spirit. Says he groaned in his spirit. And then he says, where have you laid him? And they took him there. And when he got there, the very first thing Jesus did before he resurrected him was Jesus wept. Y'all say that with me. Jesus wept. Okay? So now watch this. Our God is compassionate and he cares. Jesus cries like we cry. Okay? When he was on this earth, he shed tears like we shed tears. And even now, he's moved even as we are. Look, I'm so glad that we don't serve some distant God that cannot be touched, that doesn't even understand, has no idea what pain is. remember me telling you, I told some of y'all this. I remember Bethany had been dead for like 3 months. It was really, really tough. And I was walking through Walmart, and a well-meaning Christian came up to me and said, how you doing, man? I said, well, I'm doing okay. I thought this guy was one of those guys that understood, so you could kind of at least, you know, let your hair down a little bit. He said, well, how you doing since Bethany died? And I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm in a grieving cycle, and I'm really trying hard not to be angry, and I'm trying hard to not get caught up in this despair, but I'm really moving forward, I believe. And he said, this well-meaning Christian, what are you talking about? I said, excuse me? He said, all you got to do is pray one time. Pray, God, take this, it's gone. And I said, nah, that's not how it works. Oh, yeah, it is. I said, no. I said, that's not how it works. I said, I had my daughter for 27 years. She died tragically of cancer. I watched her eat away. And I said, it takes a while to get over this. Your body has to reconcile, your mind, your spirit, everything has to reconcile. He says, no, it don't. All you got to do is pray. God, take this, and it's gone. And I said, no, you don't understand Listen, this is what I'm talking about. This literally happened. I'm not making this up. If I'm making this up, I hope, though, I ain't going to say anything. Because if something happens, you'll say I was making it up. Okay. I told the man, I said, no. There's real pain, and it doesn't go away with one prayer. And there's real mourning, and it doesn't go with and frustration. It doesn't go away with one prayer. He goes, you don't know nothing about grieving and pain. Watch this. As God is my witness, my hands were in my pockets, and they were going. And I said, well, why don't you explain it to me then? He said, my daughter was in court, and it took 3 months for us to get her taken care of. And I said, well, my daughter was in court for a lot longer than that, and I remember that too. He said, well, see, you don't know what real pain is. We didn't know if our daughter's going to be taken in or out of custody, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I went through the same thing with my daughter before she got sick with cancer. He goes, well, see, you still don't understand what real pain. We went through the pain, and his daughter was standing beside him. And he said, you don't know what real pain is. And I said, you know what? I got to go. And he said, and he kept on talking. And I said, I really need to go. And my fists were, I'm not kidding. I'm human. I wasn't going to hit him. But my hands were doing like this. And they got doing like this so much they wouldn't even fit in my pocket anymore. So I took my hands out of my pocket and I did like this. And he said, let me tell you all about suffering and pain. I said, thought to myself, you're getting ready to discover what that is. And I said, I really need to go. And so I started walking away. I said, nice seeing you. I got to go. Thank you for your concern. And I started walking away, and he followed me. And all I could think of is a little yappy dog behind me going, and I said, look, I really need to go. I told you that. I'm late. I really need to go. And he said, no, I really need to go. And all of a sudden, a tear started coming out of my eye. And I said, okay, one of us is getting ready to call 911. And so I said, dude, really? And about that time, my phone rang. Praise God. And I picked up my phone. I don't know who it was. I said, I'll be right there. I'm not even sure what they were calling for. I was like, I'll be right there. And I got out of there. And so I'm so glad that our God's not like that. He walks beside you. He feels your pain. He feels your hurt. He's there with you. He understands disappointment. He understands what it's like to be betrayed. He understands what it's like to have to go for it. He understands what it's like to go through pain of that cross. He understands all of that. And so because he understands all of that, you've got a God that cares. Even though I don't see him, even though I don't feel him, even though right now, where's he at right now? Why is not the he come right down right now and changed everything instead of things keep exploding and exploding and exploding? Where's he at? Remember, God's got a plan. And God can work that plan a whole lot better than we can. Amen? So then number five, here we go. When life is out of control, God is always in control. Y'all say he's always in control. Therefore, many of the Jews had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did and put their faith in him. Of course, that was after he raised him. Here it is. Watch this. First, he showed interest. Where have you laid him? When the greatest thing you can do to somebody that's hurting, whoever it is, the greatest gift you can give anybody that's hurting is just to listen. I'm not talking about this kind of listening. Hold on just a second. Let me finish this text. Okay, now finish what you were saying. Hold on. I got another text. Hold on. Wait till the commercials come on. No, the greatest gift you can give somebody is take this and put it down. Close your computer. Turn off the TV. And listen to them. It'll do more for every marriage in this country. It'll do more for every family in this country if you can just learn the power of true listening. Where you're listening not to respond, you're listening to understand. Just listen. I can't solve every problem, but I can listen. I don't have every answer, but I can listen. It's amazing how people feel so much better once somebody hears and knows they're really listening. I've had people come and ask me for answers. You know, I think about months ago, there were several months ago, I asked one of my family, were asking me for answers because there was a family dispute going on. And I was trying to help, and I honestly thought I had the answer. But as I tried to talk to them, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. Oh, y'all talked to the same person, didn't you? So this person I was talking to, and I went, I said, but you got to understand this. But yeah, it's like they had a gun, a machine gun full of words. And I couldn't even talk because every time I tried to explain, they had a 2.5 inch fire hose firing it down. I said, okay. I walked away and the other person said, did you get anywhere? I said, no. They said, you're going to get anywhere? I said, no. They said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to leave it alone. And they said, why are you going to leave it alone? I said, because they're not ready to hear. When they're ready to hear, I'll do it. But the same way, sometimes people aren't ready to listen. There's a difference. I know I just sound like I contradicted myself. I didn't. When somebody's hurting, they need somebody to listen. That's it. Just listen. And watch what'll happen. So he was interested. Where have you laid him? Not only is he interested, and this is, Stephen almost got me last week. I went ahead and went with it, but this is where I was going last week with this. I stopped it and waited for this week. There was an invitation, roll away the stone. And then he got involved. He empowered them. Lazarus come forth. And then he invested in him. He said, loose him and let him go. Now here we go. Get ready. Get ready. We're almost through. So what does it mean today? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. It does. I honestly don't know of anybody, and y'all do, and I'm not comparing her to anybody in here or any of your losses. But I don't know of anybody in my life. I mean, I know a lot of people in my life and a lot of people love. I mean, I'm not saying that she was better than anybody ever been. I didn't mean it that way. But at the moment, with what she was going through, I can't think of anybody that had any more love than Bethany Linton. Now, she still can make the Pope cuss. And she still drove me crazy many, many times. But as far as love, I used to tell her, say, I wish I could take your heart and put it in bottles and give it to everybody else. I said, but the only thing bigger than your heart's the thickness of your skull. But you see, this had happened to her with the cancer. And I know that by the time God explains it to me, when I get to heaven, it won't matter anymore. But what I do is I just hold on and know that God has got this, and she has touched so many people in her death. It's amazing how many people she has touched. My sister-in-law was wearing a Team Bethany, God's Got This bracelet in Virginia, walking through the park in Virginia a couple of days ago. She couldn't wait to get home and call her sister, call Linda, and say, you got to hear what just happened. She said, watch, I was walking through the park. And she said, somebody, when I was walking through the park, somebody I didn't even know noticed my bracelet. And she saw this, God's got this Team Bethany. She says, what kind of bracelet's that? And she said, I told the story of Bethany. And she said, it was amazing what it did for that young lady. God's got this. So again, I'm not asking God to tell me why, because I'll be honest, I have, but I haven't got an answer, so I'm just going to hold on. But you know what? When God brings you through a storm, share your testimony. And remember this, It's never too late for God, and it's not over until God says it's over, because he's always in control, and delay does not mean denial. So here we go. Remember this. Now here's the part that I'm waiting to get to. Whatever God permits in any arena of your life, he has wrapped in purpose. Here it is. Ready? Somebody say we're ready. If you're taking notes, take them now. If you're not following this, get your steel toes on. Okay. We have a part in our own miracle. Did you know that? We have a part in our own miracle. We have a part right now in the coronavirus. We have a part right now with all the stuff that's going around. We have our part. And if we do our part, it's amazing what can happen. So he said, take away the stone. The stone, of course, is something that was blocking, something that was in the way. Here's what he was saying. Watch this. You have a part in your own miracle. Faith without works is dead. You got to put feet on your prayers, and you're going to have to remove the man-made barriers. Now, what does that do with today, with all the stuff that's going on? I'm not going to pinpoint and tell you exactly what to do, because this is where God comes in. But here's what I am going to tell you, and this I believe with all my heart. Get ready. Y'all say that. Say it with a little vigor there. Come on. Say it like you really mean it. There you go. Get her done. That's right. So now let's see how we're going to do something. How do we do something? You know, I saw with my own eyes last night up in Seattle, there was a guy with a Bible preaching the gospel. And while he's preaching the gospel, the guys take him down. And not only take him down, they put him in, they choke him out. That's not my imagination. I saw it with my own eyes. They didn't. This is not computer animation. I saw it. So if you got in your mind what you're going to do, let me just tell you how to handle all this. Please listen carefully. Because if you're going to do something, do it right. Ready? First, you got to start. And here's how you start. First, you start smart. How do you start smart? You ask God for wisdom. God, I need your wisdom. I need to know where to go, what to do, and how to do it. So I really need you, God, to give me wisdom. You said in James that you would give it to me and give it to me in abundance. So I need your wisdom in how to act and what to do something. Okay, instead of hiding my head in the sand. But number two, keep it simple. What does keep it simple mean? Well, keeping it simple can be something like you walk up, and let me tell you the story. This is a true story. I can't remember the exact date, but it was back in the 60s, I believe. And there was a lot of civil unrest during that time. There was a black lady broke down on the side of the road with a flat tire in the rain. So there's a black lady broke down side of the road in the rain, and a white gentleman comes by and he sees what's going on, and he rolls down his window and says, do you need some help? She says, yes, I'm trying to get to my husband who's sick. And he says, well, let me see if I can help you. So he pulls up in front of her and he takes out, I don't know if she even had a jack. I think he took his own jack. And he jacked up to put the tire on, but the spare tire was flat. So he tells her to stay in the car. He takes the flat tire. He finds a gas station open. He fixes the tire. He comes back in the pouring rain, and he puts her flat tire, fixes the flat tire, and puts her tire on. She gets ready to drive off, and she takes out her wallet. He says, no, ma'am. No, 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 no. She says, yes, but I really would like to do something. He says, no, ma'am, you really don't need to do a thing. You just go get your husband. And she said, well, at least can I have your address? And so he wrote down his name and his address and gave it to her. And he says, please go to your husband. So she goes to her husband. A few weeks later, a truck pulls up to this man's door. He says, we got a package for you, sir. He says, I haven't ordered anything. And he says, well, you got something coming. And so when they opened up the door to the truck, it was the biggest, most awesome at that time,
TV, console TV. And it had a note attached to it. So they delivered it into his house. And he looked at the note and he says, "Do you remember me? I was the lady that was on the side of the road with the flat tire." And she said, "I was on the way to see my husband. And if you hadn't come along, I'd have missed it when he died." And she said, "I want to thank you so much." And she signed it, "Mrs. Nat King Cole." Wow. Glenn Campbell had a song during all these turbulent times, and his song was "Try a Little Kindness." When you see your brother, when you see your sister standing by the road with a heavy load, you know, don't judge her. Do something. You know, try a little kindness. Try a little kindness. Try a little kindness. Shine your light so everyone can see. So do something simple. You don't have to figure out, well, I need to go and I need to get a sign or I need to do this. No, do something simple around here right now where you can do something, okay? You know, hold a door open for somebody. Like that guy, he changed a tire. Something simple. Something you can do. You know, what I like to do is I really make it a habit in my life is when I come up with somebody, good, bad, or ugly, no matter what color they are, no matter rich, poor, however I perceive in my mind what they are, when I come upon them, and I told you, I try within the first few seconds to find something good about them, and then I tell them about that. Okay, I tell them, you know, just yesterday, when I went to Harbor Freight for something, there was two people in there. There was a guy and a girl both waiting on people and doing things. And I looked at him and I said, "God, give me something good to tell him." And I told this one guy, I said, "You know, you impressed me, blah, 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 blah." And I told the girl, I said, "You know, you really are a good worker. I can tell by the way you're doing it. You're really a good worker." And when even guys at Pitt Detention Center, they're going, there's guys being D block and even in F block where they're federal cases. And they'll go, "If I ever get out of here, you showed me so much kindness and compassion. If I ever get out of here, I want to be able to do what you do." Here's what I tell every one of them, every one of them. They got to see my name on my badge. I'll say, "When you get out of here, when you go to sign up, you tell them that you want to work with Chaplain David." And I said, "I'll stand with you toe to toe, buddy." And you won't believe the guys. I walked away and they'd be crying because somebody believed in them and just said something good. So simple. So simple. So simple. Find a way to make a difference where you're at. Whether it be simple, you're over and you got 50 items and the person behind you's got one item. And you look back and see that one item and you go, "Get in front of me. Come on. Get in front of me." You know, or you see somebody getting in their car, an older person trying to get in their car at Walmart or somewhere, and they got their shopping cart. Grab their shopping cart for them and say, "Let me get that for you." See how simple that is? But that kind of little simple acts of kindness can make the biggest difference in people's lives. So do something. Be smart. There's other things you can do. Do it, but let God lead you. Because if God doesn't lead you, all you're going to do is pour gas on a fire. And when you do it, be strong about it. Make sure you know why you're doing it. I know why I'm doing this. I know God told me to do this, and I'm going to do it. You know, and I told y'all one time before that I was in food line, and I'm not doing this for any applause, none at all, just for an example. There was a lady in front of me, and it was a black lady. Bless her heart, she started getting stuff out, and they were counting it up, and she went, "Wait a second." And she said, "Tell me how much this is." And so he looked up and said, the girl said, blah, 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 blah. And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I'm trying to get this for my kids." She said, And so she said, "Start counting." She started taking stuff out of the cart and said, "Take this off and take this off." And she didn't have like movies and popcorn. She had food for her kids. I knew it was real. And the Holy Spirit said, "Do something." And so I walked over to the lady behind the cash register and I handed her. And I said, "You just tell her that somebody's going to take care of this for her and get what she needs. And it's taken care of." And so she told her that. The lady never knew who even done it. She got all her stuff. She gets ready to leave. She leaves out. And then I'm sitting there and I pay for my stuff. And I felt the blessings of God because I paid for that lady's groceries for her children. A couple weeks later, I went back to Food Lion. And this is the funny part. That little girl that was working behind the cash register, she was on one cash register. I was at the other one. She said, "That guy made me cry last week." I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't do anything to you." "Yes, you did. You made me cry." And everybody's looking at me. I go, "I didn't do anything." And she said, "When you pay for that woman's groceries," she said, "I can't get it off my mind." She said, "I had to leave my cash register. I went and cried because I hadn't seen that." So again, be smart, be simple, be strong. And watch this. This is so awesome. Simply put, learn to do small things in big ways. Just do it. You know, I like on the Emmaus Walk, you know, they have a board in the Emmaus Walk. And if you have a need and they don't have it, we got a table with the tables up there. It's got all toiletries and other things and antacids and Pepto-Bismol and shampoo, whatever you may need. Yeah, you just walk in there and get it. Just go up and get it. And if you don't see it, there's a board. You can write on the board what you want. Well, I was trying to be funny. And this Sunday morning, I happened to come back here and preach instead of being there. The night before, I just put up there, I wanted some chocolate-covered chitlins. Chocolate-covered chitlins. Chitlins, not chickens, chitlins. Does anybody know what a chitlin is? So I wanted chocolate-covered chitlins. Well, I come here Sunday morning, preached a sermon, and I went back over there, and when I got there, one of the guys said, "That was the craziest thing happened today at lunch." And I said, "What happened?" He said, the lady would come out and said, "Somebody asked for chocolate-covered chitlins, and they had some chitlins in a candy bar." I think you were there, Paul. Were you there? Chocolate-covered chitlins. I busted out laughing. I said, but again, it's because they're so eager to do something and let you feel the grace of God. Because you cannot do that without them feeling the grace of God. Do small things in big ways and watch what God will do in your life. See, if we do what we can do, God will do what we can't do. Listen, how many got Mighty Army this morning? Mighty Army was right along this. Let's see if I can find it. Mighty Army this morning. Come on up, buddy. It's okay. Let's see if it'll come up. God is looking for ordinary people empowered by Him to do extraordinary things. So, I hear people say, "Well, here's what we need. We need this and we need that," with all this stuff going around with the coronavirus and this other stuff that's going on, civil unrest. If you can learn to do small things in big ways, it's amazing how many hearts we can turn to God. And there's a whole bunch of us out there that can make a difference. A whole bunch. A lot more than what's going on. We've got so many people that can make a difference if we be smart about it, be simple, and be strong. And so then finally, here's my question. Y'all guys get ready to come up here and play something. God is far able to do way above. Once they moved that stone away, of course, when they moved that stone away, what did He do? He raised him from the dead. That's pretty cool. When He does spoke and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus come forth. And when He speaks, Lazarus comes forth. You will know when it happens that God did it. When all this stuff finally gets some peace, we'll know. Once the peace starts, that God did this.
The Republicans and the Democrats do not have the answer right now. The only one that's got the answer is the same one that stood by Joshua when Joshua was looking at Jericho and said, I don't know what to do. This place is too big. It's too much. I can't handle it. And the man stands beside him with a sword drawn in his hand. He said, are you for or against? He says, no, I'm here to take charge. Take your feet off, your shoes off your feet because you're on holy ground. That was a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus Christ, a Christophany. What do you need today? What do you need? Everybody stand. What do you need? What do you need to be resurrected in your life? Yes, I know God can, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to resurrect Bethany and bring her back here, but I will see her. David said when he lost his child, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. But I do know this, in Bethany's death, I can find some purpose. And once I find the purpose can bathe the pain. But there's other things in my life that seem dead. Then when I give it to God and trust him, he can resurrect it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, could you... First thing I'm going to ask is, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And there's people out there watching by Facebook. I'm pretty sure you know somebody around or maybe watching with you that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. Today's your day. If you don't know him, would you just raise that hand? Maybe you know him, but something died in your life. You had something really bring a lot of emotional pain. And because of that emotional pain, your emotional pain became a spiritual strain. And instead of drawing you closer to God, it pulled you away. And right now, you're not sure where you stand with God. Right now, you're not sure what's going on because it hurts too bad. If you're here today and your emotional pain has become spiritual strain and it's put you in the wrong direction with God and you're not sure where you stand with God, while nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, can you just put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor? That's me. I'm not even sure anymore. I get so bewildered. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I get so bewildered because all of this pain, it doesn't stop. It's a constant bombardment, and I'm not sure what to do and how to handle it. The beginning of healing is acknowledging. There's got to be an acknowledgement. And once there's an acknowledgement, the void... The problem with the void right now is there's a void in your life, but the problem is there's so much pain in the void that the pain needs to be cleaned out. The void needs to be cleaned out so new growth can come. It's like an infection in your hand. You've got to clean it out before it can start taking place. Maybe you're here today and you got something dead in your life, or at least on life support, and you're wondering if God's ever going to take care of it. Like with the coronavirus and this other stuff that's going around in our nation. Is God going to take care of this? When is he going to take care of this? What's happening? When is God going to just bring it to an end? Even in my own life, when is God going to stop the craziness? If I'm talking to you today with every head bowed, every eye closed, you got that craziness, that situational life support, or maybe that situation is dead. But you know, God gave you a promise that it was not going to be this way. But you know what you're seeing. If I'm talking to you, you know it. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? I got stuff in my life that's on life support. I got stuff in my life that's dead, and I need God to help me out here. I need God to step in and take control. If I'm talking to you, raise that hand. I'll pray with you. Lord, bless them right now. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray together. Lord, pray with me. Lord, there's a lot of things in my life that I really need your touch in. Help me to trust you and trust your timing and trust your power. Right now, God, I want to rededicate my life to you and to let you take back control. And I'm going to step out of the way while you do your thing, while you resurrect my hopes, my dreams. And Lord, help me to do something. Help me to do my part. Help me to do it smart, to do it simple, and to do it strong. And I thank you for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so awesome. Don't forget now, we're still having Tuesday night services. And it's good. It's on stress management. And I know nobody in here has anything stressing. If you have nothing stressing you, then you're on Gilligan's Island. And you're trying to figure out how to build a ship out of a coconut. Brother Steve, you just missed us in prayer, please.